Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. As the weather gets colder, we're reminded that cold and flu season is now upon us. That, compounded with the ongoing pandemic, means it's time to focus on our immune systems. Our immune systems are an intricate, codependent system that serves as a barrier to prevent viruses and bacteria from infecting our bodies. They are pretty effective against many germs and viruses, but it takes time to fight them. In 2020, it's especially important to note that our immune system has obvious limitations fighting against COVID-19, but it's still important to build up its strength and continue to practice safety measures to slow the spread. For this month's Fit for You, Josh Knox, associate professor in the Marquette University Physician Assistant Program, joins me to share some helpful tips to help strengthen our immune system this cold and flu season. Josh Knox, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thanks for having me, Audrey.
So while there are no COVID medications or immunity boosting supplements currently that can cure or prevent coronavirus, you know, how important is doing other measures to strengthen our body's defenses right now?
Yeah, so I think that there is so much stress, right? We can think about all the economic pressures and loss of jobs. And of course, this isn't borne equally across everyone, but all the pressures of individuals with children at home who are helping to educate them in ways that they weren't called on before, stress about parents of all ages, and, you know, just even outside of, you know, individual sickness related to this or family and friends. So just so much stress. So anything you can do really to mitigate that stress by simple measures is going to be very helpful.
So before we get into some of those specific ways we can mitigate the stresses on ourselves, I want to just get into the basics of how our immune system works. So it's not one thing in particular. The word system implies there's lots of components. So could you help us break that down a little bit?
Sure. So your immune system operates in two major ways. There are other ways, but two major ways. One, you have what they term humoral antibody. So humoral immune system or humoral antibodies. And these are B cells is the term, and they are the cells in your body that make antibodies. So when you are exposed to a foreign invader, a virus, a cancer cell that doesn't look like you, a bacteria that doesn't look like you, a fungus that doesn't look like you, the other piece of it initially reacts. So you have what we term the innate immune system. So the innate immune system is oftentimes what people think about. These are T cells, natural killer cells. You may have heard these terms bannered around. So those are a more generic form. They begin to recognize these foreign invaders and they send signals to these B cells to say, hey, you should begin to form these antibodies. So you have antibody forming components of the immune system, and you have, I would say, you know, soldiers at the gate that react immediately. And those are kind of the two major ways in which your immune system reacts. Of course, there is really a third component that we don't think about is our skin, our gut. We have other immune defenses in there that are barriers to foreign invaders, whether it be because they're, you know, impermeable or acidic in the case of the gut, that stop those things from getting inside of us and causing harm.
So I think it's important to note right now, of course, that a strong immune system won't prevent people from contracting COVID-19 because it is a new, you know, disease. But in addition to all the safety precautions all of us should practice to avoid the spread of coronavirus, you know, what are some simple things we can do regularly on an individual level to help strengthen our immune system?
Sure. I might even just back up with your comment because it is an interesting one. So what we're learning is that in some people, the immune system is almost overreactive, as it were. And that's why some of the people seem to get severely ill, whereas other people seem to almost tolerate it, or the immune system can handle it quite easily. And that's still all being figured out at the basic science and clinical level. But to move ahead with your question, I think that things that you can do yourself rather than things that doctors or PAs or other health professionals or scientists do for you are very empowering, right? There's a lot of data about this to suggest, you know, the placebo effect, right? A lot of trials have fairly high response rates to that, to things that you otherwise wouldn't necessarily think were that you should have a response to. So the power of the mind really is helpful. The things that people can do, simply, I would start with sleep. So at night, besides your tired, aching bones and muscles, your immune system is rebuilding while you're sleeping at night. And there's actually some fairly good data about that in terms of what happens exactly. So there's signaling proteins that kind of orchestrate our immune systems, and they need the rest that we get at night. We also form those T cells that I talked about at night. We build those back up because during the day they're sort of circulating and oftentimes get exposed to things in our environment. And at night we're sort of rebuilding those. There's also some evidence that, you know, that those T cells, they stick to their targets a little better when we get adequate sleep versus not adequate sleep. So we do know that people, not so much in corona, we don't have as much data with this, but people who get enough sleep, and for adults that's at least 7 hours a night, that they're less susceptible to other cold viruses. Now, COVID-19 or the SARS-CoV-2 virus is more serious, of course, than a cold, but it actually, several other similar coronaviruses actually are cold viruses, so they are structurally similar anyway. We do know that in these other cold viruses that getting enough sleep can prevent our likelihood of catching those or our susceptibility to that. But there is other research in that vein that suggests, again, sleep may boost our antibody forming abilities as well. So we're extrapolating, we're associating here from what we know about other viruses, but it seems that our body needs sleep for our immune system to work properly.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have difficulties initially, especially if they were working remotely, of keeping to the same patterns we once had, right? And this can also include our exercise regimen. So how important is exercise or the frequency of it or intensity in also playing a role in helping our immune system?
Yeah, so here there's good data as well. People who are getting suggested intensity, so moderate or vigorous aerobic exercise, it helps a lot of those antibody formations. It helps that innate immune system, our T cells to work properly. It enhances our B cells that make the antibodies. When we exercise, it actually mobilizes our white blood cells. So normally our white blood cells or those T cells are kind of hanging out on the periphery of our blood system or on the edge of it. And exercise actually shocks them into activity and it turns them over more efficiently. So that's certainly helpful. It also, there is research studies that support that it enhances something we would call immune surveillance. So that's how those immune systems sort of look for those foreign invaders and bind to them. There's research as well that suggests that people are getting regular exercise are less susceptible to cold viruses and flu-like viruses. There is one study that I read recently that showed that those individuals who are regularly exercising potentially can prevent or at least reduce the severity of severe reactions to COVID-19 virus. That is, that the people that were hospitalized who were exercising regularly were less likely to go into respiratory failure than those individuals who weren't. So exercise is important. Adults should get between about 150 minutes and 300 minutes. This is the national guidelines for that per week of moderate intensity aerobic exercise with at least two sessions of some isometric or other weight-like training during every week.
And while the weather for now permits us to do so, there's an added importance of outdoor activities right now. I mean, you don't necessarily need to be taking a boot camp class in the park per se, but even just the benefits of getting out for a simple walk. So, you know, our outdoor activities, just really important to incorporate for as long as we can.
Absolutely. So we've been doing a lot more, my family and I have been doing a lot more hikes, more biking. My dog is as fit as he's been since he was a pup, because we're going to the parks, we're doing planks and push-ups and dips and side bends and running the stairs, because I'm not super comfortable right now going to, nothing against gyms, but I just think that it's, you know, it's just safer being outside. Same thing with the kids. It's a great, you know, family activity to do that. So I'm glad you mentioned that. It is important to think about whatever activity we're doing. How can we social distance? Can we do it safely with masks? Or if we're forced to, how much benefit are we going to get from a mask inside, you know, without the air circulating and those sort of things. So I think it's important to think about what we're going to do here in Wisconsin when it gets even colder, embracing some perhaps novel winter activity. Maybe you're, you know, maybe you take up snowshoeing, maybe you get the cross-country skis out, those kinds of things.
Yeah. And of course, you know, when we get sun time, we get vitamin D, which is very important. And I know supplements are common, you know, they're over the counter, but, you know, what would you recommend when it comes to supplements? And I'm curious if there's any adverse effects of loading up on too many supplements.
You know, in the United States where food is fortified, and we're making assumption here that people are not food insecure, that they're getting enough food. We do know that projections are at least that a lot more people are food insecure during this time because of economics. That is, that people aren't getting enough healthy food to sustain them at all times. That's how the FDA defines food insecurity. So assuming that you're doing all of that, there's probably only one supplement that has enough data to make, to say something intelligent about it at this time, and that is vitamin D. So again, there is reams of data from other viruses and other upper respiratory infections that suggest that individuals are less susceptible to cold viruses and upper respiratory viruses when they have adequate vitamin D. There is more research studies that have been done with vitamin D specifically in coronavirus. So there's a study that suggests that, again, that people are similar to exercise, that people are will not have as severe a response, will not get as sick, and are less likely to die when they have adequate vitamin D. As you noted, you get most of your vitamin D from sunshine. So as the angle of the sun drops in the northern hemisphere, that is diminished. So it's not unreasonable to supplement with vitamin D. Usually about 1,000 international units is adequate for most adults, saying that they don't have another disease or condition that's wasting vitamin D, or that they're not known to be severely deficient already, in which case they may need to take more than that. The way that your body works with the vitamin D, there's not a lot of toxicity that's associated with vitamin D supplementation. It does have added benefits along with that weight-bearing exercise that we talked about. It's essential to keep it. It's a cofactor in how calcium is incorporated into your bones and other tissues. So you need it to keep strong bones and muscles and connective tissue.
That's good to know. And of course, we need to try and get as many other vitamins and minerals as we can through the whole foods we eat as well. And when we're coming upon what last year would have been normal cold and flu season, and now we have this extra complicating factor, you know, are there any common myths or misconceptions on ways or things that people spread on strengthening your immunity that you want people to know about?
The concern I would have, rather than calling out one specific thing, there has been certainly many old wives' tales now about and rumor mills about coronavirus. You know, certain populations can't get it, or, you know, masks aren't effective, or those sort of things. But rather just going back to those tenets that we talked about, getting enough sleep, eating a nourishing diet, perhaps taking vitamin D, getting adequate exercise. So I don't know that there's a, besides the things that are obviously harmful, without being too political, like, you know, ingesting cleaners or those sorts of things. But I would just caution people to not use unproven things while excluding or not focusing on the things that help, that we do know work. In addition, I think that there's a misconception that the flu vaccine causes the flu. I think it's essential to get the flu vaccine every year, but I think this year is more important than ever. I think potentially people could be weakened by getting the flu and more susceptible then to COVID. They may need to be hospitalized, in which they potentially could be exposed to one or the other as well. So the flu vaccine does not cause the flu. Very few people have adverse reactions to it beyond very mild ones. And I think it's essential for everybody to get it this year.
All right. Well, Josh Knox, thank you so much for helping us and sharing these tips.
You're very welcome. Thanks again for having me.
Josh Knox is a physician assistant by training and a clinical associate professor at Marquette University's Physician Assistant Program. He joined me for this month's Fit for You, and you can explore past segments at wuwm.com.